It's week 8 of the NFL season, and I hope your lineups aren't as spooky as mine look this week. I have a league where my starting backfield is Joshua Kelly and LaMichael Perine, so we are in full Halloween season here for sure. We have Eric Smith with us. Eric, as always, you know, editor-in-chief, the ghost in charge. Eric, what's the spookiest player you have to start this week?
I'll give you two. In Dynasty, I'm just straight up starting Jamichael Hasty, which is scary. And then redraft, not too bad, but Leonard Fournette, that's my RB2. So hopefully that passing game work from last week was legit.
Those are two guys that could easily lead their team in rushing yards this week because Bruce Arians does whatever he wants to do. And I don't think the 49ers have anyone else that's healthy. Well, except for Jerick McKinnon, but I don't think they remember he's on the roster.
Yeah, I mean, I have some really boring plays like Jarvis Landry, but I didn't really think he was spooky. So I could see Hasty or Fournette just completely ghosting me this week. So we'll see.
Jarvis Landry is definitely the house that on the street that didn't do any decorations. They have one bowl out front of like almond, like a Mounds bars, and it just says, please take one. That's Jarvis Landry. We have Callan Elslager. As always, Callan, who is the spookiest player you have to start this week?
Daniel Jones. I missed out on a quarterback. My quarterback's on bye, so I had to go get Daniel Jones off waivers, and I am shivering in my boots right now.
Yeah, Daniel Jones is definitely that snotty little teenager who TPs your house, and then as he's running away, he trips and falls over himself and you know, doesn't get away cleanly. I mean, that's the Daniel Jones experience anyway. But we're in full Halloween season here. You know, obviously, everyone have a great Halloween. Stay safe out there. And then, look, you get an extra hour of sleep to, you know, catch up and, you know, be well rested so you can wake up Sunday morning and be ready to watch football all day long, just like we'll all be doing. So we're looking forward to seeing you at our live stream. Sunday starts at noon Eastern. It's hosted by Matt Dean and Aaron Rader. So you can check that out for last minute sit start questions because, you know, you're going to wake up Sunday morning and go, oh crap, I have to set a lineup. Well, Matt and Aaron can help you with that. And you can always tweet your start or sit questions at us at the QB list. Check out our website, qblist.com, for our starter sit preview that comes out tomorrow. And you can always join the Discord, gain direct access to the full staff, talk to us about football, bug us with your starter sit questions. We're always more than happy to answer any and all questions that come our way. So join at pitcherlist.com/plus. Let's talk about some of the news and notes because there's a lot of big name players that did not practice today. We'll start with the wide receiver group. Deontay Johnson, Michael Thomas, and Allen Robinson all didn't practice today. Deontay Johnson has a toe injury, which I think is different from what kept him out of the game or knocked him out of the game on Sunday. Michael Thomas with that hamstring that popped up last week. And then Allen Robinson is in the concussion protocol. So, Eric, let's just start with which of these three players do you expect to play this Sunday?
I expect Deontay Johnson to play. Like you said, it's a different injury from what we think he suffered. And they've been resting both him and Juju Smith-Schuster on a lot of Wednesday practices. So I'm hoping that's the case with Deontay. He's just getting that veteran day off and he'll be back out there Thursday practice. But definitely keep an eye on that one.
Callan, do you expect, as our Steelers expert, do you expect Deontay Johnson to play?
I do. Tomlin said it was seemed like a minor injury when it happened and originally said he should be good to go against Baltimore. So I don't think anything's changed for that. Like Eric said, it's usual rest day on Wednesday. So I'm expecting him out there.
All right. What about Michael Thomas, who's missing practice and missed the game last week after he had a hamstring injury that kept him, you know, kept him out of the game?
Yeah, he had a separate injury, so I'm not expecting him. It seems like he had a setback, and yeah, I've got him in some teams, and I think this just is going to keep carrying on for us. It's been pretty frustrating if you use a first-round pick on him.
Yeah, I'm right now planning on looking elsewhere in him. If he was healthy, he should be out there by now, so I guess keep an eye on Thursday, but as of right now, I'm not expecting him.
Okay, and then with Allen Robinson in the concussion protocol, there's really no telling when he's going to be cleared from that. Hopefully, he'll be okay soon and be able to be out there shortly. Running backs. Aaron Jones didn't practice. He had that calf injury that came up, I think, on Saturday. It was a Friday or Saturday late injury, and you know, he was not able to play on Sunday. So are you guys concerned about Aaron Jones' status for this Sunday?
Yeah, they seemed like they hinted that he could miss another week just to make sure he's right. So I think the Packers have a good enough record. They were kind of rolling along even without him that they might give him another week just to make sure he's good for the playoffs, which they're hoping they'll be in. So, yeah, a little worried that Jones is going to be out again.
I originally expected it to be only a one-week thing, but the latest news isn't so optimistic. So, yeah, it's another player I'm kind of looking to have a backup plan ready to go in case he misses another week.
Yeah, well, hopefully if you picked up Jamal Williams last week, you didn't drop him during the waiver wire madness, which this week really wasn't much madness, but still, hopefully you didn't drop Jamal Williams. If he's out there on your wire, definitely go grab him because he did very well this past Sunday. And if Jones is going to miss another game, you definitely want to be firing up Williams against that Vikings defense. Joe Mixon didn't practice with a foot injury. There was some like some feeling that he was going to be able to play this past week, that maybe the foot injury wasn't going to affect him too much, but he didn't play. Giovanni Bernard got all the work instead. Eric, you know, like I said, every week you basically live there at the stadium. What did you see with Joe Mixon?
Yeah, I mean, really nothing positive at this point that makes us think he's going to come back. So I think we should plan for life without him for another week, especially since Gio Bernard did pretty well. So Bernard's got a really nice matchup here against the Titans. We'll talk about that game later. But yeah, Gio looks like a rock solid starter again this week.
Yeah, I couldn't agree anymore. I'm sort of planning for life without Mixon as well. Last week, it seemed like he'd be good to go, and then he missed the first day of practice. It seems to be trending in that same direction.
Okay, so just like with Jamal Williams, hopefully you still hung on to Gio Bernard. And if he's out there on the wire, definitely go grab him. What about Mark Ingram? He suffered a mid to high ankle sprain. And I mean, that's usually kept players out for like 4 to 6 weeks. But Ingram might be coming back after 2 weeks rest, or really just 1 week's rest, with the Ravens having their bye this past week. So do we think Ingram is going to play on Sunday?
I don't think so, but he's also kind of the veteran type. I think they'd roll out there with not much practice, but I think with Gus Edwards, who can soak up enough volume, I don't think they're going to rush him. But I'd say keep an eye on him up to game time, though, because if he wants to go out there, I think they trust him enough to let him play.
Yeah, especially in this matchup against Pittsburgh. If he thinks he can give it a go, I feel like they would try and get him. With Dobbins and Edwards, they have enough depth where they don't need to use him if necessary, but as of right now, plan on not, but it wouldn't shock me if he works his way into the lineup.
How much would we hate it from a fantasy perspective if Ingram was available to play?
I mean, I don't know. I already hate it if he is out. We get a less, you know, this backfield cut down a little bit against the Steelers. So it was the worst possible timing for this. We can't start anyone, probably regardless here.
All right. And then Miles Sanders also didn't practice. He's still recovering from that knee injury that he suffered a couple weeks ago that kept him out of last week's game. And it seems like he is not going to be able to play against the Cowboys. The initial report was that he might have to miss through the Cowboys game. So I don't know. What do you guys do you expect Sanders to play?
No, they seem all but telling us he's not going to play. So I'm expecting another week without him. And kind of like Gio Bernard, a nice matchup here for Boston Scott, and you can pencil him in your lineups if you got him.
Yeah, I mean, they don't need Miles Sanders because anyone can run against the Dallas Cowboys, so definitely put Boston Scott out there. I actually have a league where I have Miles Sanders, and I made sure to pick up Boston Scott because either way, I mean, even if Sanders is one-legged, either way, I feel good about starting them. Okay, and then with Seattle, we kind of have an interesting situation. Pete Carroll called Chris Carson a game-time decision. He said the Carlos Hyde's hamstring tightness was nothing major. So I think while a lot of us might have expected DJ Dallas to be the one-man show come Sunday with everyone else there hurt, it seems like Carson and Hyde might be ready to go out there. Callan, do you expect Carson and Hyde to play? And what are you doing with the Seattle backfield?
I'm throwing my hands up in the air and just throwing a dartboard. Right now, I'm still going to plan on Carson not being out there, but the news is a little more optimistic than I expected, so wouldn't shock me. If he's out there, you gotta start him, but I don't know. I'm kind of expecting Hyde to be out there too, but who knows this backfield. Pete Carroll doesn't really give us a lot of news when it comes to his players and giving us many updates, so just keep an eye on the practice report. As of right now, I'll expect to be without Carson, but we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's actually known for being pretty optimistic, too. So just about a day ago, it looked like it was just DJ Dallas. I still think he's going to get the bigger workload, but obviously if Carson's out there, he'll take it all. So I'm picking up DJ Dallas where I can. and we'll see what happens. But I would imagine at least one of them sits out because also Homer looks like he's hurt too. So this is a really thinned out backfield.
Yeah, Travis Homer didn't practice with a knee contusion. So, and with the COVID protocols that the league has, it's hard to believe that they'd be able to sign a running back and have him ready to go by Sunday. So kind of in a situation where DJ Dallas might be the only player who can get work, definitely something to keep an eye on. And if you have a spot to stash a running back that might not even play Sunday, but could also be a weak winner for you, go grab DJ Dallas. In that same game, 49ers have designated Tevin Coleman to return from the IR. They sound pretty optimistic about his chances coming back this week. There are a few players around the league that were designated to return, including Dallas Goedert. But Coleman was really the only one that, the coaching staff seemed optimistic about playing. If Tevin Coleman is able to play, what does that mean for the 49ers backfield with Jamichael Hasty and Jerick McKinnon, the only other healthy running backs there?
I wouldn't expect them to rush Tevin Coleman back, even if he is active. He's had a history of injuries, and he's been out for a while. So even if he is active, I'm not expecting much this week. But I wouldn't be surprised if he sits out another week and they ride McKinnon and Hasty. I mean, Hasty's a rookie. He should be able to handle some work. And McKinnon, they really rested last week. So I don't think there's much here for Coleman for another week or two.
Yeah, I'd expect them to ease him back and kind of let Hasty take the lead back opportunity like Wilson did last week. So even if he's back there, it doesn't change things too much. It just makes it a little more headache-ish.
That was the nicest way you could have put Jerick McKinnon's complete disappearing out last week. They were resting him. He just needed some time to just rest and relax, needed to read a good book.
What Shanahan said. You don't trust him with his running backs, what he says about them?
No, not at all. I never know what's happening in that backfield. I don't think anyone does. But, hopefully he's able to play this week because there's not a whole lot of other options there. And especially, like you said, Coleman, even if he does play, it's not like they're going to throw him back out there in his usual workload. It might just be a series or two to get him acclimated. Hasty, they can let run wild. You know, they've got four other running backs. Plus Juszczyk, who they sometimes use as running back when necessary, so they're fine. Yeah. And then Andy Dalton didn't practice. He's still in the concussion protocol after that late hit towards the end of the Cowboys game. But, I mean, does it matter who's under center with the way Dalton's been playing?
No, I didn't want to overthink it, so I just stuck Andy Dalton at QB28 and DiNucci at 29. So that's the way I dealt with my rankings this week.
Yeah, it doesn't make too much of a difference. It doesn't affect where I'd rank the Cowboys receivers, doesn't affect where I'd rank Zeke. It's not pretty in Dallas right now, no matter who's at quarterback.
So what are you doing with all the Cowboys skill players this week? I mean, we'll obviously talk about that game when we get there, but just quick preview. How are you ranking their wide receivers and Dalton Schultz?
I gave up on Dalton Schultz. I thought that maybe Dalton could latch on to him, but I think the passing volume is just going to go down too much to keep him going. Zeke, it's tough because he's playing against the Eagles, really good run defense, but he's also going to get a lot of dump offs. So I'm still cool with Zeke. And I think Cooper is still startable by default, but Lamb and Gallup take the big hits. And I'd still start Lamb in some leagues, but Gallup's off my radar.
Okay. And as we, are now 7 weeks in the books and we're right in the middle of Halloween season, I thought we could do a fun segment on which players are real and which are going to turn back into pumpkins anytime soon. I know that's a Cinderella reference, but pumpkins are very timely right now. I see them at every grocery store and Home Depot. So we're sticking with a pumpkin thing here. Let's start with quarterbacks. Let's actually start with probably the true Cinderella of the season. Justin Herbert wasn't even drafted in most leagues, wasn't expected to be the starter anytime soon. And, he's really taken his opportunity and run with it. He's actually QB3 on the season in points per game. Is that going to stick around or is he going to come back down to earth soon?
I think it's for real. I mean, I was worried that the Chargers were going to try to force a running game into this offense and he'd take a step back, but they seem to be kind of embracing Herbert. And if you look at his schedule, there's not a lot that scares me. I mean, there's a matchup against New England in week 13, but he's got a really nice schedule. So, no, I think Herbert's here. He's for real. He may not be QB3, but he's definitely in the top 10 for me.
Yeah, I can agree with Eric. The only concern you had originally was that they would go back to Tyrod Taylor once he got healthy, but that was squashed a few weeks ago. So they're going to continue to ride with him, and he's looked great so far. I'm expecting him to keep it going.
Well, and the Chargers finally won a game under Herbert, so that puts all of Anthony Lynn's concerns at ease, because early on in the season, Lynn was saying if he's not winning, he's not playing well. That's just how it goes, I guess. Aaron Rodgers, QB7 by points per game. He was being drafted as a late starter, like QB12 in draft. So, he was being drafted, but I don't think anyone was expecting him to be as good as he's been so far this season. And obviously that points per game total has come down because of his performance against Tampa Bay. So if you take that out, I mean, he's definitely higher than QB7. So is that going to continue? Is he going to continue to be, close to top five quarterback, or is now a good time to sell high on? Well, maybe not now after the Tampa Bay game, but is now maybe your chance to sell high after his next good performance?
You probably could, because he lit up Houston last week, but I think it's legit. Right. I mean, his schedule gets tougher. He's going to play later on San Francisco, Indianapolis, Chicago. So there's tougher schedule, but I mean, it's Rodgers. This offense looks good. He's locked on to Davante Adams. So as long as Davante Adams is out there, Rodgers is legit, I think, for fantasy purposes.
Yeah, and adding Alan Lazard back into the lineup in a few weeks, I think that'll boost him a bit more to have another receiver that he really trusts. Like Eric said, the schedule's a little concerning, but Aaron Rodgers seems to be on a kind of vengeance tour after his poor 2019. So I'm going to trust him moving forward.
Okay, let's go to running back, where we have our probably other Cinderella story of the year, James Robinson. Surprised me to see that he was the 38th running back drafted in Yahoo drafts this year, but I think by the time most of the drafts were underway, we had already kind of known that Fournette was going to be cut, and Robinson was the guy, at least at the beginning of the season. So kind of explains his draft position. But so far this year, he has been RB6 on a point per game basis. So is James Robinson going to remain an RB1 rest of season?
He's a tough one for me. He was my winner last week because I had doubted him. And then he had a really nice game against the Chargers. Some good matchups coming up. Houston, Green Bay, Pittsburgh's tough, but Cleveland's not bad. Minnesota. So I think he's legit. I will say weeks 15 and 16, Baltimore and Chicago. So if you have your sights set on a championship, maybe you move on from him and sell high now. The way running backs are right now, it seems hard to believe he would drop much below 12 or 14 overall.
I'll call him a pumpkin in the sense that he won't be that running back one just because of the matchups Eric said. And I think defenses might start almost setting up to face him. Doug Marrone came out and said today that they're going to make changes. Does that mean they're finally going to go with Mike Glennon, which might put a lot of pressure on Robinson to be the guy? So I'll call him a pumpkin and he'll no longer be an RB1, but he's impressed me enough where he's kind of a set it and forget it. Should be RB2 throughout the rest of the season, even in tough matchups.
Yeah, and there's always that fear on these really bad teams too, that just kind of turns into a lost season and the coach start messing with stuff. And I don't see why they would take Robinson out of there, but maybe they want to keep his legs fresh for next year. I don't know. So it certainly does not help being on a bad team fantasy outlooks for the long haul.
Okay. What about Ronald Jones? Ronald Jones is RB22 on the season, but the first couple of weeks were when we were at peak. Who knows what's happening in that backfield? And over the last 4 weeks, he's actually been RB10 on a point per game basis. So Ronald Jones, I mean, we saw last week Leonard Fournette got some more work as he's healthy. That has to be a concern. Does that mean Ronald Jones is turning back into a pumpkin?
He's tough because I feel like people are all over the board with him. Some people love him, and then some just are never going to buy in on him. I am worried if Fournette takes all the passing game work and if he steals goal line work as well. You could really see a drop off here. Maybe Jones becomes touchdown dependent. So I'm going to say yes, he's going to turn into a pumpkin. But again, he's a running back that's getting at least 40% or 60% of the workload. So not too bad, but I'd sell high on him.
I would too. Fournette coming back, I think, is a bad situation for him. You saw last week, and they're getting stronger on offense. They're going to get Antonio Brown back soon. Does that make him a little more pass heavy? So I'll say he'll slightly turn back to pumpkin. I think he's still someone you start. I think they can have two viable running backs in Tampa, but I try and sell him now and see what you can get. And so I think he will pumpkin a bit.
Yeah, and I actually think he's better than Fournette right now, probably, but it's just a matter of the coaches and how they're going to use these players. So it's not really anything personal against him as a player, but Arians seems to like getting Fournette in there, so we could see more of that.
Okay, that was Ronald Jones, and earlier we were talking about James Robinson. Let's go to wide receiver, Jamison Crowder, wide receiver 7 in points per game. Now, obviously, he's dealing with a groin injury right now, and that kind of tempers his the hype around him. But, he was drafted as the 40th wide receiver off the board, so you're pretty much already playing with house money at this point. Is Jamison Crowder going to continue to be someone you can rely on week in and week out, or is he going to kind of fall off the map?
I'll go with the pumpkin here. Just injury concerns combined with if a coaching change happens or they decide to get Mims involved, whatever. I think I would sell high on him here, but he has had a pretty phenomenal target total when he's out there. So ride him for now, but maybe let a good week come in here and then sell high.
Yeah, the schedule doesn't – after the bye, I don't hate the schedule too much. You got Miami, which we'll see. Chargers before that, and you got Vegas and Seattle and Cleveland in the playoffs. That's not a bad situation, but like Eric said, how's Denzel Mims gonna be involved? What's it gonna look like when Brashad Perryman's back? So I think you're still probably could start him in that flexish range, but he's gonna be more borderline than the set and forget it guy he was early in the season.
Why does everyone keep bringing up a potential coaching change in New York? The Jets are never firing Adam Gase. He has dirt on the owners. This is the only explanation. There's no other way.
I was going to say at some point the fans might force it and stop showing up to games, but we don't have to worry about that this year. So maybe he won't get fired unless there's a big social media push. But I think that's already happened too. So the fans are going to have to make something happen here, I think. I agree.
Let's go to Stephon Diggs, Buffalo Bills wide receiver. He's been wide receiver 9 this year. Eric is very familiar with the rise of Stephon Diggs. I love to always mention that he ranked him in like the low 30s, the week 1. He was drafted as wide receiver 25. He's been wide receiver 9. Is this going to continue for Stephon Diggs?
Yep, I'm going to keep ranking him probably in the top 10. So yeah, I'm definitely in on Diggs.
Yep, schedule's pretty nice going forward. We still have the bye coming up, but you have a number one receiver and a passing heavier offense right now. If Allen, no pumpkin, he's going to be fine the rest of the way.
All right. You guys both believe in Diggs. My one concern is the way that the Bills have been really forcing Josh Allen to pass it. I think that's a system thing where they're trying to get him to be a better passer and kind of develop by forcing him to throw. And I think teams are starting to recognize that. And I think teams are starting to be a little bit more conservative with their past defense, making Josh Allen be more accurate. And I'm not sure that he's quite there yet. So we may see teams start to take away, not necessarily take away Stephon Diggs, but just kind of make it harder for Allen in general. And that might change the Bills' plan of attack. So I don't know. They're doing well. There's no reason for them to change things as of right now, but just something to keep an eye on. Keenan Allen dropped all the way to wide receiver 23 in drafts. I mean, he was a guy who was being drafted as a top 12 wide receiver most years, and he's ranked as wide receiver 14 right now. And I'm willing to bet over the last few weeks it's even been higher because Justin Herbert has really been locked into him. So as far as Keenan Allen goes, is he legit?
He is. They are really feeding him the ball, though. So I wouldn't be surprised if defenses put more of an emphasis on stopping him as they kind of go away from the run like we talked about earlier. So I could see a little bit of a fallback here, but I mean, he's had 4 of his last 5 weeks over 10 targets, and the one he didn't was when he left with an injury and he had a touchdown. So now I'm buying in on Keenan Allen. There's just consistent volume there.
Yeah, I think so too. Schedule's not too bad. A couple tougher matchups in the middle, but the playoffs, you got Atlanta, Vegas, Denver all in the fantasy playoffs. So you can keep riding him. Herbert's targeting him. He's extremely talented. He's going to be fine. I like him the rest of the way.
Okay, so you guys are concerned about Crowder, no concerns about Diggs or Allen. And then finally, let's do our tight end potential pumpkin, Jonnu Smith. I feel like we've been talking about Jonnu Smith since like day one. I don't know if that was because, Eric, you were high on Jonnu Smith coming into the season or what the reason was, but he was actually drafted as the 21st tight end off the board. So really people were not drafting Jonnu. He was definitely just kind of that late round flyer that only people in the know were coming in on. And he's been the 5th ranked tight end on a points per game basis this year. So is that for real? Is Jonnu going to be a staple at tight end, or is he going to turn back into a pumpkin here?
This is a tough one. So he has the last 2 weeks. He's had two catches total, six targets. He's been a big disappointment. There's been some concern that it kind of coincides with Taylor Lewan getting hurt, and they're wondering if he's blocking a little more. You're also getting, you know, A.J. Brown back in the full swing of things. And so I don't know. It also coincides with an ankle injury from Jonnu Smith, so it's hard to know what's going on here. I'm going to say yes in the sense that it looked like he was breaking out, and I think maybe he's just going to fall into that kind of middle to lower range tight end that we can start every week, but still touchdown dependent.
I'll probably agree with Eric. I think that it's another schedule situation, but tight end's just such a horrible position right now for fantasy. Jonnu Smith seemed like he was getting into that upper echelon of, you know, you're starting him. I think he's going to fall back into the, not entirely the streamer, but kind of in that where Evan Engram used to be, where it's like, okay, you have him, you're probably still going to start him, but it's a little concerning, especially with Davis and Humphreys and the offense getting healthier from their COVID spurts that maybe the targets will go a little bit away from him. Not as much, so.
Man, I do not want to hear Jonnu Smith's name in the same sentence as Evan Engram. That does not make me happy.
I will say he gets the Bengals this week, and yeah. It's a great get-right spot, so.
Yeah, Eric, both of our teams are great get-right spots, aren't they? speaking of great get-right spots, let's talk about Thursday Night Football, where the Carolina Panthers are hosting the Atlanta Falcons in a great get-right game for Carolina. Is Atlanta's defense is probably just as bad as Dallas and Cincinnati. So what do you guys expect from Thursday Night Football this week? Are we finally going to see a high-quality game here?
Yeah, I think Carolina's kind of one of those teams that can keep games close. They're a good team, but I don't know if they're going to blow out the Falcons here. So, I think we got a pretty good game. Panthers playing with the lead. A lot of passing from the Falcons here, but there's a lot of fun fantasy options in this one, so it should be a good time.
Yeah, I think Panthers defense been a little better than we thought they were going to come into the season, so I would have said shootout potential early on. I don't think that's exactly the case now, but it should be pretty high scoring back and forth, so it'll be fun. I think there's a lot of good fantasy options in it.
Yeah, Carolina's been one of the better defenses against the pass this year. They're only allowing the fifth fewest points to opposing quarterbacks. Does that concern you at all about Matt Ryan?
I think Ryan, when he's got Julio out there, he's fairly matchup proof. I mean, I've got him QB8, so I'm not expecting huge things, but I expect him to be throwing it. And Panthers are not good against the run, 26th in yards allowed on the ground. So I think that'll take a little load off of him. They can get Gurley going a little bit. So no, I think Ryan's still startable. We'll see. I mean, Bradbury's really been shutting people down, so we'll see if he takes Julio out a little bit, but Julio is not exactly someone I worry too much about getting shut out of an offense. So I think they'll be good here. Maybe not like 35 points, but they should be in the 20s.
Yeah, I'm not too concerned. He's, like Eric said, when Julio got back, he seemed to find a rhythm. He's looking a lot better after the firing of Dan Quinn. So I think he should be fine. It lower expectations slightly, but he's still top 10.
Okay, and you guys are firing up Todd Gurley against that bad Carolina rushing defense?
Yeah, it gets really ugly after the top, 14, 15 running backs this week. So I've got Gurley at 13, and they're giving him touchdowns. He still doesn't look super explosive, but he'll get the work. He'll get the goal line work, and you can feel really comfortable starting him. The Carolina, I think, 26, like I said, in yards allowed. So they're definitely exploitable.
Yep, he's scoring. He's scoring every game but two, so almost guaranteed to score a touchdown at this point.
Even when he shouldn't score a touchdown, he's scoring touchdowns.
That's also true.
Gurley, if you didn't catch it at the end of the Detroit game, was trying to run out the clock. Falcons had an opportunity to kick a field goal for the win if they just run all the clock all the way down. But Detroit tricked him, and he ran all the way in for a touchdown. And, he tried to stop at the very last second, was not able to, and then Detroit obviously knew they could carve up Atlanta's defense, and that's what they did. They took the win. And like I said on Sunday, Atlanta just making up new ways to break the hearts of all their fans. Obviously, we're playing Ridley and Julio, but with Carolina's defense being as good as it is, and with Russell Gage being as not good as he's been, Gage is still pretty uninteresting, right?
Yep. Wide receiver 50 range for me, so I don't want to start him. I'd rather start Hayden Hurst. I've got him in my top 10, and he's got a pretty a pretty consistent streak going. He's getting usage. So I think Hurst, we mentioned a few weeks back, but it looks like he's working in ahead of Gage now.
If you have Hurst, a lot of people who have Hurst might be kind of looking at streaming tight ends. They should hang on to Hurst for this week's matchup.
Yeah, I think so. He had a few fluky weeks and we were a little worried if it was going to keep up, but what he had last week, 7 targets last week, 6 catches for 68. That's really good. So he's pretty consistently in the top 20 tight ends. He's had 3 weeks, 12 or higher. I just think he's on the right track here with target wise. And Carolina, like, you know, they're a good defense. They've definitely improved, but I'm not necessarily avoiding them. So I'm starting Hurst if you don't have better options.
All right. And then on the Carolina side, I mean, they're playing against Atlanta, so you're firing up everyone. Let's talk about Christian McCaffrey. It sounds like McCaffrey was kind of targeting this week to return, but it's a short week. The game's on Thursday. Do we think McCaffrey's going to be ready to play tomorrow?
I'm guessing not. I had him in my rankings just in case. And just a reminder, if he's out there, you play him. No doubt about it, even with the slight injury. But I think they'll take it easy in this short week and just go with Davis one more time.
Yeah, I would expect that as well. And not actually, the Falcons have been decent against the run this year, 7th in yards allowed on the ground. So this is mainly a defense. You get them in the passing game, which both Davis and McCaffrey could get them in the passing game for sure. But maybe not a huge yardage total on the ground here.
If McCaffrey is playing, are you still playing Mike Davis?
He gets in that flexible territory, maybe, that they might ease McCaffrey in and kind of work Davis in, and running back's kind of a pretty ugly after the top 12, so probably not, but I wouldn't blame you if you do it.
Yeah, I think you just have to listen to the coaches. I mean, but I would kind of guess once McCaffrey's out there, he just gets the full usage, so I probably wouldn't be looking to play Davis unless they were just kind of warning us about McCaffrey ahead of time. So I think it's CMC's backfield once he gets back.
Okay, and then you're obviously starting Robbie Anderson and DJ Moore. Are you starting Teddy Bridgewater? A couple weeks ago against Atlanta, he had a solid but not spectacular performance in a game where, I mean, the Atlanta Falcons usually allow quarterbacks to do whatever they want. So would we be starting Teddy Bridgewater again this time around?
Yeah, I've got him QB15, so that's pretty decent range. Definitely would use him as a streamer. Falcons, like you said, worst in the league, allowing points to quarterbacks. And he's actually kind of due some positive regression, 3.4 touchdown percentage this year. So it's just based on how much he's been thrown it, he should have scored a few more. So he gets you a little bit of rushing yardage. And yeah, he's just I think he's got a pretty high floor. Maybe he doesn't have that breakout potential, but he's going to give you a solid week this week for sure.
I've got him QB11. This matchup for Atlanta is good. He had over 300 yards last time they played them. It's going to be a higher scoring game, so I'm willing to put him out there.
All right. Let's go to the Sunday games. I mean, this is a great Thursday night football for you to have. I mean, I think a lot of teams are going to have hopefully big production from Thursday night. But let's go to Sunday, where the New England Patriots are going to be going to Buffalo to face the Buffalo Bills in an AFC East rivalry matchup. Bills are, I mean, for once, the class of the division. Patriots are sitting there at 2-4, and wondering if they can turn the ship around. Do you guys think the Patriots have a chance here? Are they still in contention for the division, or are the Bills really just going to run away with this?
I hate to count out a Belichick team, but it doesn't look good here. Cam looks bad. Looks like he's kind of regressing as the season goes on. I don't love their running game. They don't have any weapons in the receiving core. So unless their defense really rebounds to the elite defense we saw, I think the Bills can run away with this one personally.
I'm going to still say the Patriots can hang around just Belichick. And I feel like maybe Newton's just suffering from post-COVID stuff and not 100%. And if he gets right, then they could turn the ship a little bit. But it's got to happen in the next week or two for me to really feel confident in that.
Okay, let's start with New England. I mean, both of you guys have Cam Newton ranked outside your like starting quarterback range, but he was really good at the start of the season. I mean, he had some big games, especially that shootout against Seattle really comes to mind. And at this point, you know, neither of you guys really want to start Cam Newton. Is he completely off your radar moving forward, or are you looking to buy low on him?
I mean, I don't buy quarterbacks very often, so, but yeah, I think so. I mean, he still has that rushing ability that's kind of a cheat code for fantasy. So as far as starting him, I am waiting to see another good week, I think, before I start him. But I mean, you know, he's had 275-yard rushing games this season, and he's got 5 rushing touchdowns. So if he gets that back, he can struggle through the air and still have value. But just don't put him in your lineups until you have a really good kind of whether it's just a perfect matchup or something from the previous week that really looks like he's back.
I'm not fully getting away from for the season. This matchup's not so great against Buffalo, and he hasn't looked great. I'll stash him just in case he comes back, because he has that rushing ability where he can go right back into fantasy viability, but it's been very ugly right now. So you can hold him on your bench, but that's all I'm doing right now.
Okay. N'Keal Harry didn't practice. He's in the concussion protocol, and Damian Harris was limited in practice. I mean, even if either of these guys are healthy, are we starting either one?
No, definitely not N'Keal Harry and Damian Harris. I mean, he's going to be in the RB back end RB2 flex range for me. I'm looking for other options though, but you know, Buffalo hasn't been that great defensively, like kind of what we're used to, giving up 20th in yards allowed on the ground. So it's an exploitable matchup, but I don't trust this backfield split. So I'm looking for better options.
Yeah, I've just got no interest. I feel like this is a game where Buffalo is going to be out pretty early and New England's going to have to throw to catch up. And that goes more towards a James White game script than possibly Rex Burkhead. So I'm avoiding Harris at pretty much all costs.
Yep. Well, so then are you guys interested in James White? I mean, one of the problems I think, you know, a lot of people were concerned about how much volume James White would get. And his opportunity share has only been 28%. That's, you know, touches both on the ground and through the air. You know, 28% is not really that involved in the offense. And White's definitely been more involved in the past. So, or in the past, I mean, so would you want to be starting James White if you think the Patriots need to come from behind?
No, I mean, he's my RB33. He just disappeared last week. I agree. This one sets up well for him. You would expect him to see a lot of work in this one if they fall behind, but I mean, he's got a 40% snap share. Just hasn't been super impressive. So he's a kind of like with Cam, I kind of want to see it first. There are some leagues where you're probably going to have to throw him out there, but definitely PPR helps. But now let's see him establish a little bit more of a connection with Cam on a weekly basis first.
Yeah, going up to that last week he only had 1, but he had 8 and 9 the previous 2 games, so I'm wondering if him missing a little bit of practice last week had something to do with it. I'd rather not start him. He's in that kind of flex range where you have to throw it. I wouldn't hate it, but he's another guy I'm probably looking away from, but if you have to do it, I feel like he still has that safer floor, but it's not great.
Okay, and then do either of you guys want to start Julian Edelman?
He just hasn't looked. I mean, some of it's Cam not being accurate, but Edelman's had some drops. He's just doesn't look super explosive. Not that he was ever the most explosive, but I think he's kind of reaching the end of his wide receiver one status for an NFL team. And he's a wide receiver 36 for me this week. And he's I'd probably rather play him than James White or Damian Harris, but I'm looking for better options than Edelman.
Yeah, not too interested this week. He's kind of fading a little bit. Got him at wide receiver 40, so I'm looking elsewhere.
Let's go to the Buffalo side. I mean, you're starting Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs for sure, even against this tough New England matchup. But, I mean, this is a team that's pretty good against the run and doesn't allow a ton of points to opposing wide receivers. So where does that leave guys like Devin Singletary, you know, Cole Beasley, or John Brown, who did get in a full practice today? So we might have Brown back in full strength for the first time in it feels like forever.
I'm kind of hitting the panic button on Devin Singletary here. He was starting off, you know, fairly consistent 10 or more points most weeks, but he's really plummeted lately. The workload's going down. Kind of like, you know, this Bills team is just, it's not as run heavy as we thought it was going to be, kind of like the Chargers a little bit. They're airing it out. And with Zach Moss back, I'm kind of panicking on Singletary. So I got him at RB22, which is like pretty bad this week because there's some rough options out there. So I'm not feeling great about starting anyone other than Josh Allen, Diggs, actually Cole Beasley. And then if John Brown's out there, I'll play him. He's been consistent enough over the last year and a half when he's playing that I got him wide receiver 32. Patriots haven't been the same Patriots defense of old, and I think you can exploit him through the air a little bit. So yeah, that's what I'm looking at here.
Yeah, Patriots have actually allowed the 4th most yards through the air all season. So, like Eric said, Beasley's been getting the targets, so I'll start him. If John Brown's back, it lowers him a bit, but I think he still would be in that wide receiver 3 range. So I'll start pretty much any receiver if Brown's back, I'll throw him back in my lineup. I'll start Beasley kind of either way at that wide receiver three range. Singletary, you start because he's getting somewhat of the volume, but an RB2 and it's on bye weeks. But yeah, I've been kind of lowering him each week after week, and I've got him all the way down at 24 this week. So continues to drop, and this matchup's not great either.
Yeah, my concern with Singletary, I mean, he's like you said, he's getting the volume, opportunity share of 67%. So he's involved in the offense, but 3 weeks in a row of fewer than 7 PPR points. I mean, that's not what you want from your running back.
No, that's for sure. And I mean, they're going to the receivers in the red zone too. I mean, Beasley's getting a lot of red zone options, and so is Diggs. And it's just, I mean, we know that Singletary's got so many options ahead of him anyway with Josh Allen running the ball. So just touchdowns are just not there for Singletary.
All right, we'll see if the Tennessee Titans can rebound after their loss to the Steelers. They're favored by only 5.5 points over the Bengals. Eric, please tell me you're betting on this game, right?
Which side?
Oh, absolutely, Tennessee. Are you serious?
I thought you would call me a homer maybe or something.
No, 5.5 points? Come on. This is a great opportunity for your betting article. I think Tennessee is absolutely going to wallop on the Bengals. I'm sorry, Eric, but you say it every week. I mean, is there any player on this Tennessee offense you're not interested in against the Cincinnati defense?
No, I like them all. Derrick Henry's my RB1 for the week. Tannehill's a QB7. It's just across the board good matchups here. I mean, the borderline ones for me are Corey Davis and Adam Humphries, wide receiver 35 and 42, but you could definitely start them if you're in a pinch. I mean, there's just a lot of touchdown potential here. Joe Burrow is really good at kind of hanging in there and covering the spread at the end. That would be my only question, but that's going to be good for the Titans offense. Burrow's going to keep the Bengals in this. Titans defense hasn't been that great either. So this could be a high scoring game. So I'm really looking forward to this one on both sides of the ball for fantasy purposes.
The only one I probably won't start is Adam Humphries. He only had 3 targets last week. So I feel like they're kind of, but in this matchup, sure, I'm fine with it. I'd look elsewhere, but if you have to play him, it's not a terrible play. But other than that, everyone's in play for Tennessee.
Yeah, well, and Eric, I mean, you're absolutely right. The Cincinnati offense has been pretty good, and Burrow does a great job of kind of keeping the foot on the pedal, and that would make the Titans keep the foot on the pedal. So it could be a really big game from fantasy perspective. I mean, the over-under is set for 53.5, so we're expecting a high-scoring game. With the Bengals, we talked about Joe Mixon not practicing. So where does that leave Giovanni Bernard in your rankings? Is he someone that you are looking to start against Tennessee, or are you hoping you have better options?
No, I bumped Giovanni Bernard all the way up to RB17, just assuming that Mixon's not around. Titans, like I said, they're 26th in yards per attempt allowed on the ground, so they're not a good defense stopping the run. They're not getting a lot of pressure on opposing quarterbacks, 30th in sack rate. So I think just this looks good for the whole offense. I've got Burrow as high as I've probably had him at QB10. So I really like this for – there's 3 startable receivers on the Bengals. There's a startable running back and a quarterback. So, start your Bengals if you have them.
Yeah, Bernard probably – I had ranked lower just because I – had Mixon in originally, but with the practice news, I'm bumping him up, and I'll probably put Bernard similar to Eric, maybe even a little bit higher. I do like the PPR upside he has, so I'd probably have him running back 15, 16, something in that range where you're starting, he got the work last week, and Burrow likes to throw to him, so you can confidently start him if Mixon's out again.
Yeah, there's like 10 startable fantasy options in this game, 5 for each team, Tannehill, Henry, Brown, Davis and Smith, and then you got Burrow, Bernard, Boyd, Higgins, and Green. So a lot of great options. With AJ Green, he's been really involved in the offense since that I don't remember what team it was against that he was like completely uninvolved, but he's been great since then. And obviously Boyd and Higgins have been fantastic this year. Boyd obviously a huge week last week, so definitely want a piece of the Cincinnati offense if you can.
Yeah, and A.J. Green kind of disappeared the week, I believe that was when they played the Eagles, and Darius Slay has been shutting down everyone, so maybe in retrospect it doesn't look as bad. He had that high target game early on, A.J. Green did, where he did absolutely nothing, but since that Eagles game, I'm happy to start him, so I've got him ranked pretty high. I've got all 3 of T. Higgins, Tyler Boyd, and A.J. Green pretty high, so fire him up if you got him. Wide receiver 26 for A.J. Green, so I'm kind of... The way this season's going, if it's a game that I like and it's a matchup that I like, I'm just I'm starting as many people as I can from that game. I'm avoiding some of these duds, and just give me all the Bengals receivers you can this week.
Yeah, we've kind of seen in previous weeks a lot of the high performers come from the same game. Seems like there's a lot more of concentrated fantasy, you know, production this year than in past years. A lot of those duds just don't really produce that many fantasy studs from a week to week basis. So I completely agree with you, Eric. Is the Las Vegas Raiders against the Cleveland Browns one of those games? No, probably not. But there's some upside here, at least from the Cleveland side, because Las Vegas' defense has been really bad. This, however, is a game that could see a lot of wind. We're anticipating 20 to 25 mile per hour plus winds in Cleveland come Sunday. What would that mean for the Cleveland Browns offense, Eric?
That would probably mean a lot of Kareem Hunt. So Mayfield doesn't seem like the ideal quarterback to have in a windy game. He's not, you know, your stereotypical big armed quarterback like Aaron Rodgers. I'd maybe be a little less worried about, but yeah, I got Mayfield's QB 13 right now. I mean, this far out, it's hard to rank too much according to the weather because, you know, it can change pretty quickly. But I'd be looking for other options than Mayfield if this is as windy as they're predicting. And there's a few of those games this week. So we're getting into that time of the year where we have to start playing weathermen here because it can definitely wreck your week here.
Yeah, I want to be interested on them, but I wanted to go beyond Baker Mayfield. There's other quarterbacks I like better. And I want to see it again without Odell Beckham for sure to really buy into him being back as that fantasy viable starter. This is a great matchup. When you need a streamer, he'll be fine. I just think he's a little lower for me. I got him at quarterback 16. And if the wind's in play, then I drop him even another spot or two probably.
Well, the Raiders have allowed the 27th most passing yards per attempt. Does that make Jarvis Landry or Rashard Higgins interesting at all to you?
For me, they're both kind of flex wide receiver three types. I guess more wide receiver three, but I don't think Landry, I don't think whether he's just banged up this year or what the part of his career he's in, I don't think Landry is going to step in and be a wide receiver one with Beckham out necessarily. So I kind of see him. He is what he is. He should give you a decent floor, but I'm not expecting a big breakout. Higgins is interesting. I mean, I have him at wide receiver 37. He's got some upside filling in for OBJ for sure, but I'm not ready to trust him just yet. You know, he had 100 yards last week, but again, it was the Bengals, six targets, so it wasn't like he was getting a massive workload. So let's see how they reimagine this offense this week and see if Higgins is like the Odell Beckham role.
Yeah, I'm intrigued with Higgins, kind of the same thing. I have him lower just because I want to see it again, but he's a good stash right now. I think he could kind of be that number two. And Landry, a safe floor. He's in that wide receiver three range where he's got a very safe floor. He's getting a consistent-ish target share. It's not going to be great, but he's pretty safe.
Okay, with Las Vegas, I mean, it's Jacobs and Waller pretty much every week. But Jacobs was limited in practice today, nursing a knee injury, and the Cleveland Browns have actually been really good against the run, only allowing the sixth fewest yards per attempt on the ground and 12th fewest points allowed to opposing running backs. So they're not a pushover by any means. And Jacobs, I mean, Jacobs has not been that great this year. So what are you doing with Josh Jacobs?
Yeah, he's my RB12, which isn't really that impressive. Like you were saying, he had that 3-touchdown game, and it's been a little disappointing since then. He has had some really tough matchups. He had Tampa Bay last week coming out of the bye, so he played New Orleans. They're a tough team. So, but he's had a couple top five finishes, and then it's been kind of RB2 territory other than that. So, yeah, I'm a little bit down on him. He's got a 67% snap share, which isn't like massive workload. I mean, it's definitely good, but they're mixing in Rashard and Booker behind him. So, you know, he's a bit touchdown dependent right now, and we'll see. I mean, if they can really, they are improving in the passing game here. I got Carr as my QB12. The passing game looks good. Maybe that'll lighten things up for Jacobs a little bit, but right now everyone's kind of sitting on him, and it's just not real explosive currently.
With the running backs that are out, and like we said, for 12 running backs, 13 running backs that are set it and forget it, and Jacobs is right on that last tier of it where it's a okay matchup, I guess, at times, and maybe if the passing game improving, he'll open some things up again, but you're still starting him, but you gotta lower expectations right now.
Okay, well, maybe just something to think about. Josh Jacobs, over the last 5 weeks, has had four games below 14 PPR points, including two below 10 points. And then against Kansas City, had 22 points. So obviously still able to have those big games, but, you know, definitely something to be concerned about with Jacobs. But, you know, Eric and Callan say you can start him and well, maybe not feel good about it, but you don't have any other options, so you can start him still. Nelson Agholor has been productive for the Raiders. I mean, he scored a lot of points for them. Are we looking to start him this week?
No, I'm still – it still feels a little fluky. They're using him downfield more, but the targets aren't quite there to count on him. So, no, I'm kind of fading most of these receivers because I just don't really know what's going on from week to week here.
With the people on bye, I'd be okay if you wanted to put Agholor on that flex. He had 9 targets last week. He's been used a little bit deeper in touchdown. It could be Henry Ruggs, and if you have Ruggs, I'd start him over Agholor as well, but they're probably about a spot away in my rankings. So if you have either of them and you're desperate for a flex, I wouldn't really hate it in this matchup. Browns are allowing the second most points to receivers in fantasy right now, so I think it's a good matchup to use them.
Yeah, I've got Ruggs as my wide receiver 43. That's the highest in Las Vegas. So he's definitely boom bust. He could really lay an egg for you, but he's got big playability. He could burst one against this Browns defense for sure. But we'll see how the wind is. That would definitely hurt the deep ball.
Yeah, if anyone in Cleveland wants to go to the stadium and throw a football and then tweet at us and let us know how the wind is on Sunday, that'd be fantastic. Let's go to Detroit, where the Indianapolis Colts are going to take on the Detroit Lions. Colts are favored by 3, and I mean, that's mostly on the back of their defense because their offense has not been impressive this year. But you look at, I mean, looking at our sheet here of all the stats, and it's all red for the Detroit Lions because the Colts defense has just been so good. So, you know, what is that? Are you concerned about starting, you know, these Lions? I mean, Kenny Golladay, you're probably firing him no matter what, but these running backs, Matt Stafford, TJ Hawkinson, does this Colts defense scare you off of any of these guys?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. They've been rock solid, and this looks like one of those games where both teams are going to run the ball a lot, so that slows things down, or actually speeds up the clock, so you get less plays. I mean, I think Hawkinson's pretty touchdown dependent at this point. Like we mentioned last week, if they hadn't had that miraculous finish, I think he would have finished like 3 catches for 35 yards. So it's not great for Hawkinson. It's mainly Golladay, Swift, just because he's kind of shown the most promise out of this backfield. But I mean, he's still got a, you know, under 40% snap share for the year. So I don't like it this week for the Lions. I got Stafford all the way down at QB 17. So I'm looking at better options other than Golladay.
Yeah, Galladay's just set and forget it. Stafford, I still would be fine if you need to start him. I think he's still got a pretty safe, floorish type of quarterback where I'm okay with it, but I'm kind of would look elsewhere at a streaming option. But if you need him, I'd be okay with it. And Swift, I got him at running back 18, but it's like we said, after 13, I was pretty jumbled up with my rankings. I just feel like he's got some upside and he seems to be increasing in work, so if you have him, you're probably going to play him, but this isn't the matchup that I love too much. So it's really Galladay is the only one you set for sure, and Hawkinson, because tight end is such a wasteland, you're going to probably start him.
Okay, mostly avoid this backfield, but you guys are willing to take a shot on DeAndre Swift, who's been more involved as of late, and hopefully the Lions continue to do that. With the Colts, I mean, starting anyone, it has really nothing to do with the opposing defense because the Lions have not been great defensively. But do you want to start any Colts offensive player other than Jonathan Taylor?
I don't want to. I kind of raised T.Y. Hilton up a little bit this week. It's kind of a hunch, but they're coming off the bye. I just think he's there. They should be trying to get him the ball in the passing game. And this Lions defense isn't very good. So I've got Hilton up at wide receiver 33. That's about as high as I've had him for a while. So I think you could start him if you need to. He is still the, you know, kind of de facto number one option. So we'll see. This could be a week, maybe some fresher legs. He makes something happen here because there's not a lot of competition for him. So there's a bunch of tight ends and that's kind of just Hilton.
Yeah. I'm almost done with T.Y. Hilton. Maybe off the bye he shows something, but it's kind of let me see it before I'm back in on it. This is a matchup you can possibly exploit with him, but Rivers has shown he's going to go to tight end, so that makes me, Trey Burton, intriguing as a possible streaming tight end play. I think I have a tight end 16, right around there. So if you need a streamer, I'd be okay picking up Trey Burton. But other than him, it's Tyrod Taylor is a must start. And then Hilton, I want to see some more before I'm telling people to start him again.
Yeah, I don't want to be starting T.Y. Hilton personally, even against this Lions defense. I still don't trust Phillip Rivers' ability to get anyone the ball. He can hand it off to Jonathan Taylor, and that's about all I trust him to do. I mean, maybe Trey Burton. Does Trey Burton interest you guys at all?
No, I mean, I agree with what Callan said about him, but I still think there's a little bit too much competition at the tight end position for me to just completely trust him. So I'd rather take a shot on some other people personally, but I get it. I mean, he's had, I think, what, 5 targets each of the last 3 weeks? 5, 6, and 5. So he's getting the work, but I don't know. He's going to be like any other tight end, touchdown dependent for me.
And the Colts do that very often. All right, let's go to Green Bay. Another windy city this week. Green Bay also expect to get wins. Now, Eric, you mentioned when you were talking about Baker Mayfield that you're not concerned about Aaron Rodgers in the wind. And it looks like neither of you guys are. You both have him ranked in your top 3. So big week ahead for Aaron Rodgers.
Well, like I said, my ranks aren't taking too much of the wind into account quite yet, but it's not that I'm not concerned with Rodgers, but he's played outdoors. He's played in Green Bay. He knows how to deal with this. So it might throw a little bit more work on the running game, but Rodgers could get you the touchdowns here. So Minnesota has been bad. They're allowing the most points. Well, sorry, 30th most points to opposing quarterbacks. That's yards per attempt. Sorry, 30th in yards per attempt to quarterbacks. So they're just getting gashed by quarterbacks. And so it's all system go for Aaron Rodgers, Devontae Adams. Jamal Williams I'm really high on as well, but we'll get to him.
Yeah, Rodgers, I wouldn't be concerned too much. He's had the experience today. He's been very good. This Minnesota secondary has not been very good. You start him even with the wind. Maybe drop him a couple spots in ranks, but if you have him in your lineup, you're likely going to start him.
When you guys both have Devontae Adams as your number one wide receiver this week, and for good reason. I mean, he's been the best wide receiver in the world when he's out there. Might even be one of the top wide receivers by fantasy production in the past few years, if we look back through historical data, because the volume he's been getting is just absolutely insane. But with that volume, though, comes other players that aren't going to get the same volume. And really, the player that hurts for fantasy purposes is Robert Tonyan, who definitely benefited from Adams being out. And now, is he someone we can still put out there if Devontae Adams is playing, or is he only relevant with when Adams is out?
I mean, he's my tight end 16, so he's just kind of a dart throw for me. He's got touchdown potential, so that puts him ahead of some guys out there. I'd probably rather take a shot on him than Burton, honestly. But Adams definitely hurts, and the running game is going to be priority as well, so I'm not loving starting Tonyan, but I do think, like, season long there's some upside here. It's just we're kind of on a week-to-week basis right now with him.
I got him at tight end 10, but that's because of mainly of the matchup. I think Adams hurts him a bit, but I think he's got touchdown upside, and when you get to after the top 8 or 9 or so in tight ends, you kind of just towards the end, it's basically a matchup plays for me, so I'm fine with playing Tonyan if you need to. But Adams hurts him a bit, and I'm okay if you don't want to use that either.
Yeah, I mean, Tonyan does have more red zone targets than Marquez Valdes-Scantling does. So other than Adams in the running game, he's probably next up on the list.
Right. Well, and with the running game, though, I mean, okay, so Aaron Jones, we're still not sure about his status. Didn't practice today, as we talked about at the top of the show. But it's pretty simple. If Jones is playing, you're starting him. And if he's not, you're starting Jamal Williams.
Yeah, I ranked them kind of assuming Aaron Jones was out for that reason, because if he's in, you're playing him. So I've got Jamal Williams as RB7 this week. If he is, if Jones doesn't play, he finished as the RB6 last week against Houston, and he had 23 total touches and a touchdown. He gives you passing game work. So I think Jamal Williams is pretty game script proof here, even against a defense that's allowed the 8th fewest yards per attempt on the ground. It's still really nice matchup. I expect him to be ahead of Minnesota, and start Williams if you got him.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't be as high as Eric. I had my rankings assuming Aaron Jones was going to play, but that's something I would probably need to change before Sunday. So if Williams is starting, you start him in fantasy. The matchup might not be great in terms of yards allowed, but like Eric said, they're going to be ahead. They use him in the passing game. He's a top 10 running back for me probably if he plays, or if Jones plays.
And Williams saw 55 out of 62 running back snaps last week, so they used him a ton.
All right, and then Minnesota is usually pretty easy because you start Dalvin Cook, you start Adam Thielen, and I think Justin Jefferson is kind of in that, like, you start depending on the matchup. So is the Green Bay the matchup where you want to be starting Justin Jefferson?
It is for me. 20th in yards per allowed per attempt, so they're getting gashed in the passing game. And this is just one of those games. I think it's going to be a shootout, so I want as many options as I can. Vikings will get behind, and they'll be forced to throw it, and it's not much other than Thielen and Jefferson. Maybe Irv Smith gets some work, but no, Jefferson's looked really good. Thielen's getting more red zone work, so that kind of caps Jefferson a little bit, but I've still got him as wide receiver 14. I just think there's going to be a lot of opportunities for him this week.
11. Getting more red zone work, but I mean, that's one way of putting it. Adam Thielen has out-targeted Justin Jefferson in the red zone and end zone 17-4. So definitely looking Thielen's way.
Yeah, but Jefferson can also burst a big play, so he gets in the end zone a little bit too. He's been a little boom bust, but I think it's worth the risk here.
Yeah, 11 targets for Jefferson before the bye week. I don't expect him to change that game plan much after the bye week. They're going to need to throw to keep up with Green Bay. You start Justin Jefferson pretty confidently.
Okay, let's go to probably the easiest game to talk about from a fantasy perspective. I don't think I've ever seen a spread at 19.5 points, but that's how much the Chiefs are favored by over the Jets. Eric, have you ever seen anything like this?
Not off the top of my head. No, I know there's. I think there's been higher out there, but I can't think of it.
My Lord. I mean, 19.5. I mean, you can spot the Jets 20 points. I mean, you could have spotted the Jets 20 points last week and they wouldn't have won. So that's just the way it's going for New York this year. You start Patrick Mahomes, you start Tyreek Hill, you start Travis Kelce. What are you doing with this backfield? Are you still starting both? Clyde Edwards-Helaire and Le'Veon Bell split the work last week. So are we expecting more of the same this week?
I still like Clyde Edwards-Helaire. He's looked really good. I've got him as my RB10, so I'm not sweating that a whole lot. And I've got Le'Veon Bell up to RB25 just because I think he's got a great shot at a touchdown here against the Jets. So this could be a game where they use Bell a little more, see what they've got. And, you know, you can't pass up on the revenge game. So I bet Bell gets a touchdown here. It's just it makes too much sense.
Yeah, I put him at running back 22. He's a good RB2. Who knows how to split, but if they split as like they did last week, the revenge narrative is just a lot for me. He's going to want to prove to Adam Gase and the Jets how he should have been used and prove that he's good. I'm pretty confident starting Le'Veon Bell this week. So, yeah, you start both running backs. No problem with that at all.
All right, and then just a quick correction on something I said. I said if you had spotted the Jets 20 points last week, they would not have won. They would have because they only lost to the Bills by 8. I was thinking of the week before when they lost 24-0 to the Dolphins. So most weeks, if you spot them 20 points, they actually would have won. But they've had some real stinkers so far this year, and I expect the Chiefs to just beat up on the Jets. But with the Jets, do you start anyone?
So, I mean, LaMichael Perine, it's not – you wouldn't want to start him. He did get a lot of usage last week, though. So he had 40 snaps and Frank Gore had 16. So he's going to be out there. He scored a touchdown last week, so it made it a fairly decent, you know, fantasy week. And this Chiefs defense is not good. 26 most yards per attempt allowed on the ground. So that's the way to get him is on the ground. So Perine will be out there. He might get a shot at a touchdown. So he's an RB32 for me. You could flex him if you had to.
Yeah, I'd probably agree with that. Stash Michael Perine for sure. I want him. If he seems like he might be taking the role as the running back one in New York, but how good is the running back one in New York really? So stash him for some upside, but no, you're not starting anybody in this Jets team.
Okay. If Jamison Crowder is healthy and playing, are you starting him?
Yeah. He's had, I think, over 10 targets every week. So I'm putting him out there if he's healthy.
Okay. Right, well, he did not.
As Jamison Crowder, you're starting him if he's healthy. So.
He didn't practice today with that groin still, so who knows what the status for him on Sunday is going to be. Okay, let's go to Miami, where the Rams are going to hope to take down the Dolphins. Rams are 5-2 so far this year. Dolphins 3-3. And, I mean, the Rams defense has been really good this year. I mean, it's been really good. I mean, they've been good for a few years now, and they're picking up right where they left off. They're allowing the fewest yards per attempt in the air. 11th in terms of yards per attempt on the ground, but does that scare you off of Devontae Parker or Mike Gesicki?
Yeah, I mean, especially in, you know, Tua's first game here, it's a little, there's a lot up in the air here. So Parker, I dropped all the way down to 28. This Chiefs defense has been really good against receivers in the passing game. So I mean, I'm sorry, Rams defense still on the other game. But yeah, I dropped Parker down. It's just going to be a wait and see. It was also questionable. He's still kind of nursing a groin injury. So I think there's a lot of risk here with Parker. And Gesicki, yeah, I don't think he's really startable. I will say a change of quarterback could be interesting for his prospects going forward. But we're not going to know who Tua favors here until we see a game or two.
Yeah, I'm looking elsewhere. Parker's in that wide receiver three range where if you have to start him, he could be fine. But I'd prefer to look elsewhere. And Tua's first game, this Rams defense who's been really good, I'm staying away from most Dolphins. And if you need to start Parker, fine. But that's, besides the running back, that's really it for me.
It's really a shame that his first start's going to come against the Rams, who are sixth in sack percentage on the year. And like I said, first in yards allowed per attempt. So this is going to be a tough one for Tua. What about Myles Gaskin, who, I mean, he's pretty much getting all the work now in the backfield. I know Breida is still getting a little bit, but Jordan Howard's completely out now. So, you know, are you starting Myles Gaskin?
Yeah, I am. I have him running back 18. He's got a 65% snap share. You know, that's like about what Josh Jacobs is getting. So that's pretty good. And he's got, I think, he had one game of three catches, but he's had four or more in every other game. So as long as he keeps that passing game work going, he's going to have a nice floor. And he's been a top 10 PPR back the last 2 weeks, and one of them was against San Francisco. So, yeah, start Gaskin. He's a solid RB2.
Yep, agree. Not too much more to add there.
Let's stay with the backfields then, because we all love talking about the Rams backfield. What are we doing with Darrell Henderson and Malcolm Brown? And I feel like I don't have to mention Cam Akers, who has been wholly uninvolved the past 2 weeks.
Yeah, I caught him in my home league, so I'm done with it. There's really nothing to hold on to anymore. I think he had three snaps last week, and Henderson left for a little bit with an injury, so he didn't even take advantage of that. So
wait, three snaps? That's triple what he had the week before. I mean, he's trending up.
Yeah, and everyone said he didn't have a touch. I think he had a touch. It just, there was a penalty on the play, so it didn't count. So it's like almost a touch he had last week. But I think Henderson's fairly safe. I've got him RB15. This Dolphins defense can be exploited on the ground. They're 30th in yards per attempt on the ground. So I think Henderson's a pretty decent play. Malcolm Brown's going to be around enough to be a pain, but I think it's fairly clearly Henderson's backfield, and they've had some tough matchups. So this should be a week he can kind of get right and make you a little happier from a fantasy perspective. I mean, they just played Chicago, San Francisco, even Washington at times has been decent. So they haven't had the easiest schedule lately.
Yeah, snap share continues to go up. It went from 39% in week four all the way up to 56% in week seven, which it just seems he's getting more to work and against Miami defense and exploit it. So I have him the same spot as Eric, 15. I'm perfectly fine with Henderson this week as an RB2.
Okay, and then you're starting both Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp because you start them every week. But what about Tyler Higbee or Gerald Everett, both of whom are questionable? And, I mean, Higbee, as I like to mention every week, has been pretty, uninteresting since that week two blow up. But, you know, he's still rostered and people are still throwing him out there. Should they be?
No, and I'm not really even sure if he's going to play. McVay kind of labeled it as a nasty hand injury. So I think it's probably Everett again. I have him as a tight end 18, Everett. So I still don't feel great about playing him. But now I would go away from Higbee for sure. He's still living off that three touchdown game.
Yeah, no interest in either of them. Even if Higbee's out, Everett moves up slightly, but there's other streamers I want. Miami's actually been, in terms of fantasy points, they've allowed the third fewest points to tight ends. I'll look elsewhere for tight ends.
Yeah, Higbee's got 26 air yards per game. So that's not a whole lot of yardage he's getting opportunities to turn into. So it's just all touchdowns for him.
Okay, and then let's go to the probably game of the week in terms of the 1 o'clock games, as the 6-0 Pittsburgh Steelers are trying to hold on to the top of the AFC North as they travel to Baltimore to take on the 5-1 Ravens. Let's keep going with this backfield thing we're doing, because Rams backfield to the Ravens backfield, I think it gets worse. I'm really not sure who we like talking about less, but if Mark Ingram doesn't play, who are you wanting to start between Edwards, Dobbins, or neither?
I don't love starting either. I have Edwards ranked higher, even though I think Dobbins is worse, because it seems like they're going to give the work to Gus Edwards here. So I got Gus Edwards 29th, Dobbins 35. Like I've been saying, Dobbins has that third down role, and it's just not a lucrative role in Baltimore for a running back. So they're also going against Pittsburgh, second fewest yards per attempt on the ground. It's just not a good situation. So I see a lot of Gus Edwards running into the box and getting 3 yards at a time. So I'm avoiding both of them if I can. But, you know, Edwards probably has a pretty decent shot at a touchdown. I still think Baltimore will move the ball, but this is not a good matchup.
I have Dobbins ranked higher. I just, at this point, against the Steeler defense, I'll put the guy who I think has more upside higher, and I don't know if he might split it more, and if it's 50-50 split, I'll take Dobbins slightly, but I'm not starting either of them. They're only 3 spots away in my rankings, 28 and 31. The Steeler defense allowed the second fewest yards per attempt, the least points to running backs in fantasy. It's a shame because we've all been waiting for this backfield to clear up, and it does clear up just against one of the best defenses in the league. So don't start either of them.
I would personally, if it's me, I'm trying to add J.K. Dobbins as a stash. I don't want to start him, but I think we could see an expanded role for Dobbins, and we could see that he's actually a good running back, which I don't think Gus Edwards is. So I wonder if this will help Baltimore kind of clear that up and get, you know, Dobbins involved in a more creative way than they've been using him thus far. Now, these two defenses, I mean, we've been talking about the Steelers defense, but the Ravens defense is also fantastic. They're both top five in sack percentage. Does this concern you for Lamar Jackson, who is, you know, he only completes 21% of his passes when he's under pressure? You know, does that concern you about Lamar or Hollywood Brown?
I still have Lamar as QB6, which I guess is actually pretty low if you would have gone back to 2019. But this is a big game for both of these teams, division game. They're playing for, you know, playoff seeding and stuff. So I expect maybe Lamar to run it a little more than he has been, just kind of pull out all the stops. So I think he gets enough rushing upside that you still comfortably start him. And then Big Ben's been around enough that, you know, I got him QB 14. It's not great, but I think if you had to start him, you'll get a couple touchdowns out of him. So despite the great defenses, I think we'll get some points put up. These teams know each other pretty well.
Yeah, Jackson just has a safe rushing floor where you're still going to start him. I still have him at quarterback 4 just for the rushing ability he has. And Marquise Brown, I dropped wide receiver 33. Just there's other receivers I'm willing to take a shot on, but Brown's still someone you want to start. It's just, you know, he's boom bust and he needs just one big play, and curious if that can come against the Steeler defense. And for Big Ben, I dropped him to 15. The Ravens defense even got better by adding Yannick Ngakoue, so they're going to put a lot of pressure on Ben, and he's throwing the ball short. He's only having 3 yards per attempt. He's one of the he's very willing to take a dump off this year, so his upside is a little limited, and I would start some of the streamers over him this week.
Okay, so not concerned about Lamar, or at least not, you know, concerned enough. Ben Roethlisberger, you could look for a better option, and then Hollywood Brown, kind of in the you start him if you have him, but also if you have better options, that's great kind of range.
Yeah, I guess I skipped over him. Wide receiver 25. I mean, he's getting 111 air yards per game, so it's the upside's always there. We've just seen them miss on some deep throws, and I don't know if this is the defense it's going to happen on. So yeah, big playability gets him in wide receiver 2/3 range, but it could be, you know, 40 yards and no touchdowns for sure.
Okay, and then it's easy to start Mark Andrews as well as James Conner. Both those guys get, you know, a ton of work for their respective position. And, I mean, Andrews has 15 red and end zone targets on the year, so not really much more you could ask for when you're talking about a tight end. And then James Conner has been pretty involved in the – I mean, he's been the running offense for the last few weeks, so you definitely want to start him. But Pittsburgh wide receivers, a little bit more – concerning, you know, a little bit less clarity there. What are we doing with Diontae Johnson and Juju and even Chase Claypool?
Yeah, Diontae is still my favorite. I think he's shown when he's out there, he's kind of the go-to. He's got the most air yards per game. He's getting about 70. The others are really check down options. Juju's getting like 41 air yards per game. So I think he's the one that can stretch the field a little bit and the true number one. And then Juju's filling that slot role. Claypool, I mean, he's just he's kind of the ultimate boom bust here. I got him wide receiver 31, the lowest of the three. So, you know, I don't think he's as bad as he was last week where he kind of disappeared, and I don't think he's as good as he was in his 4-touchdown week. So we'll see him level out a little bit. He was still on the field a lot last week, so he should have better days, but it's a tough matchup. So, you know, kind of beware starting Claypool this week.
I am the same way. Johnson, Schuster, Claypool, Johnson's pretty much the one right now in Pittsburgh. Juju's been doing a nice job out of slot where last week was encouraging to me, so you still got a pretty safe PPR floor. And Claypool, he's boom bust. You throw him out there probably in your flex and you could be fine with that, but you definitely start Johnson and Schuster. And Claypool, a little more borderline, but you're probably going to start him, especially with the buys.
Yeah, and there was a bit of a transition last week. James Washington only got 16 snaps, so you saw Claypool, Johnson, and Schuster on the field, Smith-Schuster on the field quite a bit last week.
Okay, and if Johnson isn't able to play on Sunday, I mean, it seems like he will, but if he is not able to, then that makes Claypool the one who stands to gain more so than Schuster, right?
Yeah, Smith-Schuster's just kind of out there, same role in the slot. He's not affected a ton, but yeah, that kind of coincided Claypool's big weeks when Johnson was out.
Yep, agreed.
All right, so let's go to the 4 o'clock games. There's only a few this week because the NFL doesn't know how to schedule things. So we're going to go to Denver, where the LA Chargers are engaged in a tough division rivalry battle between the 2-4 teams battling out there for the bottom of the AFC West. But one of these teams is by far more interesting than the other for fantasy purposes. That's obviously the LA Chargers, who are led by, who we talked about at the top of the show, Justin Herbert, you know, QB3 so far in the season in terms of points per game on average. And over the last 4 weeks, where do you think Herbert ranks in points per game?
He's got to be up there, like top 5.
Yeah, I'll guess 4.
How about number 1? Oh. Justin Herbert has been the best quarterback on a points per game basis over the last 4 weeks, mostly led by the fact that he scored 38 points against the Jaguars this past week. You know, is this going to be another big week for him against the Broncos in Denver?
Yeah, I mean, I've got him QB 11. Denver's been pretty good against the pass, 6 fewest yards per attempt allowed. But I mean, Herbert's just been, he's looked so good on deep passes, and he's running the ball when he needs to. He just looks like a pro already. So I would not make any changes to your lineup. I would roll him out there. I wouldn't worry about streaming because he's got enough talent. I'm sticking with him.
Yep. He's almost entered the stardom every week conversation. He might even be in at that point now.
All right, and then we're starting Keenan Allen and Hunter Henry, both of whom have been very involved in this offense. I mean, Keenan Allen has 64 targets. Herbert's really been looking his way. And then Henry has 7 red and end zone targets. So both have been, you know, pretty involved so far this year. As far as the running game goes, do we have any interest in Joshua Kelly or Justin Jackson, who didn't really impress against the worst rush defense in the NFL?
Yeah, I'm kind of having to reassess this backfield. I dropped them both this week. I kind of held out hope for both of them to be pretty consistent contributors with as much as Anthony Lynn likes to run the ball, but it's obviously changing here. So I dropped Jackson back to RB20. He gets more passing game work, so I just kind of like that. Joshua Kelly back to RB34. He hasn't looked that good the last few weeks. He hasn't looked like he did week one against the Bengals. You know, I know I always come back to that, but he looked a lot more explosive week one, and he's just been a bit of a plotter lately. So now I'll start Jackson. I'm sitting Joshua Kelly. It's just, I mean, you know, 12 carries for 29 yards, and then the week before, 11 carries for 29 yards for Kelly. It's not very exciting. He got 5 catches last week, so that was nice, but I'm not sure the upside's there for him right now.
And I have the other way. I have Joshua Kelly over Justin Jackson. They split the work kind of 50-50-ish last week, but it seemed like it was slightly more of Kelly's game. Maybe Jackson's injury he was dealing with affected him a little bit, and that was part of the reason, but hey, Kelly was fine last week, and I feel like this game could be not as close and where he might be running it out a little bit. So I'm going to lean Kelly slightly, but either way, I'm not too interested in starting either. If you have to start one, I'll start Kelly in like a flex-ish area, but I'd rather look elsewhere than either of them.
Okay, potentially interesting. Kelly faces stacked boxes 16% of the time compared to just 3.5% for Justin Jackson. I think teams know when Kelly's back there that the Chargers are just trying to run the ball between the tackles and not really do anything too creative. So kind of tough for him. And the Broncos are, you know, third best in the league against running backs, third in fantasy points allowed. So not a great week here for Kelly or Jackson. And then I kind of skipped over Mike Williams. Williams wasn't really too involved last week. His involvement has been really up and down with Herbert, and it kind of seems dependent on how well he can connect with Keenan Allen. With Allen healthy, is Mike Williams interesting?
I mean, I have him wide receiver 39, so I don't want to play him. But he, I mean, he's a deep threat, so it's just going to matter if he connects or not. I mean, he's getting 86 air yards a game. Keenan Allen gets 95. So, I mean, he's getting a lot of, you know, downfield shots. Keenan's getting the close stuff. So if he connects, he could have a big week. It's just really hard to predict. And you're going to get some of those 3-target, 1-catch, 4-yard games like we got last week. But I mean, just as recently as that New Orleans game, I know Keenan was out, but he still looked awfully good. 109 yards and 2 touchdowns. So there's potential. But no, I agree. Keenan Allen's going to block him most weeks.
He's the epitome of a boom bust flex. He could have that big week, but he's got Allen in front of him. And like Eric said, maybe they connect, but I'll throw him in the flex if I need to, but it's going to be boom or bust.
Okay. And with Denver, it's much more, you know, unclear who, if anyone, is interesting, especially with, you know, some hurt players. Tim Patrick didn't practice with a hamstring injury. Philip Lindsay's in the concussion protocol, did not practice today. And Noah Fant was limited with an ankle injury, although I think it's the same injury he's kind of been nursing for a little while, and he played through it this past week. So I would expect Noah Fant to play.
Yeah, I think Fant's fine. Patrick seems a little more concerning. So, yeah, Fant, I've got my RB7. He's getting, you know, he's getting some nice usage. He had seven targets last week. He just didn't quite have a big game. But I will say that Albert O has been kind of eating into his work a little bit at tight end. So that's something to watch. But Jerry Jeudy, I want to be higher on. He still runs great routes. He looks impressive when you see the highlights of some of the routes he runs each week. But I mean, this is a top 10 passing defense in the Chargers.
Yeah, don't do this to yourself. Drew Lock has looked terrible. Yeah. And this is not a good defense. It's not a get right game.
That was the next step. Was Locke has looked just awful since coming back from injury. So we can't trust Jeudy much until he has a competent quarterback throwing him the ball.
Yeah, I think the only person besides Gordon you start is an RB2, but I think his floor is a little limited. It depends on if Lindsay's. I had kind of Lindsay play in my rankings, assuming he played. That'll be concussion protocol, but he's out there. He moves up a little bit, and he's safe enough for an RB2. And then Fant, you start at tight end just because it's tight end, and he's getting the work there. Depends on how Albert O is, but I want to be higher on Jeudy as well, but it just hasn't been there yet.
We're going to learn how to pronounce that last name. That's going to be on the show next week for the three of us. Yeah, Noah Fant, 54 air yards a game. So he's, you know, more involved than most tight ends. And I mean, it's not like they have a whole, especially if Tim Patrick's out, it's not like they have a whole lot of other people to pass to. Let's go to Chicago, where the New Orleans Saints are going to take on the 5-2 Chicago Bears. This is another potentially windy game. How does that affect the passing attacks for both of these offenses?
This is one to worry about. I think these are two good defenses, so this might have trended towards a kind of grinded out, run the ball a lot game anyway, especially with the injuries to the passing game for the Saints. Drew Brees does not have the greatest arm nowadays. He's had troubles on the road anyway, outside. So I think this is going to be a messy game. There's some running backs you're interested in, and I'm not sure there's much else.
Yeah, this is really bad. If you look at kind of just how it breaks down for the Bears, really the only interesting players, you know, other than Allen Robinson, is David Montgomery. And for the Saints, you know, the only interesting players, you know, are like, I mean, obviously you're talking Alvin Kamara, he's matchup proof. But outside of him, it's like, okay, is Drew Brees interesting? Is Emmanuel Sanders interesting if he's back from the COVID list? And the Bears are so good against the pass, and the Saints are so good against the run. Mm-hmm. That it really makes it hard to decide, do I really want to start David Montgomery? Do I really want to start Drew Brees? So, Callum, do I really want to start David Montgomery or Drew Brees?
You don't want to start David Montgomery, but you kind of have to. He's getting the work. It's not pretty, but he's still getting about 10 PPR points a game. It's not great, and I wanted to rank him lower. I have him at 17, but as I did it, it's just like there's so many people out and so many injuries. It's like, okay, you're probably still starting Montgomery because he's getting the work. It's just he'll slowly get his way to 10, and that's kind of what you just have to expect right now. This isn't a great matchup, so I don't love it, but the volume's there. And then Drew Brees, I'm not interested in starting this week. We don't know who's going to be there at wide receiver. Is Thomas going to be back? Is Sanders back from COVID? it's just there's a lot going on. And with the wind, with the Bears matchup, I'm looking away from Drew Brees. And the only other player I would probably start for New Orleans, I do like Jared Cook this week. It's kind of a hunch he's getting some work with the injuries at receiver where I'll put Cook into that streaming tight end range.
Yeah, I've got Brees all the way down to QB 21, so I don't want to play him. I don't think the upside's here this week. Cook, he's Jared Cook's touchdown dependent, but he's definitely a good bet for one other than Kamara. So, yeah, I think Callen nailed most of it. I mean, like you said with Montgomery, he's getting 4, 5, 6, 7 catches, you know, the last 3 weeks. So you can count on him for a little bit. And I don't know who they're going to give the ball to. Allen Robinson's got a concussion, so we don't even know if he's going to play. So without him around, I think it's going to be a lot of Montgomery. And, yeah, this is going to be an ugly game. Lots of running, probably not for a lot of yardage.
If Robinson's out, I guess I'll throw out there. Jimmy Graham becomes slightly a bit more interesting in that streaming tight end range where he's already in it, but without Robinson, he could maybe be the number one target for Chicago, which sounds very gross to say.
Yeah, I mean, Darnell Mooney, the rookie, has looked really good, but I mean, he's a downfield option if it's windy, especially if he's like, you know, getting more attention from the opposing defense. I agree. Jimmy Graham, he had a decent game last week, a little bit of volume. So, yeah, he's not a bad play.
All right, so basically for this game, it's Kamara, it's Montgomery because you don't have any better options, and then Graham and Cook are streaming tight end options.
Yep, pretty much. I think Graham's tight end 12 for me, and I hate it, but he's tight end 12.
Yeah, I think I'm 13, but yeah, and then Robinson if he isn't concussed, or if he beats concussion protocol, I should say.
All right, gross. definitely looking forward to that game. Let's go to Seattle. Seattle Seahawks are hosting the San Francisco 49ers in an NFC West matchup. And, I mean, are there two teams with more questionable injury situations than these two? I'm looking at the notes, and, like, literally half the players are, like, questionable with this and out with that. So it really sucks. You know, you want to see these teams at full strength. Let's start with Seattle. I mean, because they're probably easy. You start Russell Wilson, Tyler Lockett. And, I mean, you definitely start Tyler Lockett. Have you guys ever seen a wide receiver score 50 points in a game before?
Did last week.
Last week.
I had both him and Devonta Adams in our staff league, so I felt pretty good after last week.
Yeah, 20 targets will do it.
Yeah, that's insane. So Lockett, Metcalf, you start. Russell Wilson, you start. Are we with this Seattle backfield? Are we just in whichever running back is healthy, you start him mode?
Yeah. I mean, if Carson's out there, you're starting him. If Hyde is out there, I mean, this is, you know, San Francisco has allowed the 8th fewest yards per attempt on the ground, 2nd fewest fantasy points. So Hyde could be a bit ugly if he's the one out there. But I think if Carson and Hyde and Homer are all out, I'm playing DJ Dallas if he's like last man standing. So it's going to be kind of piecing together who's there and who isn't. And you're going to have to make some judgment calls. But yeah, it's not the best matchup regardless. But Seattle scores so many points that you can get some touchdowns here.
Yeah, I'd agree. Whichever one's star, you kind of have to follow the injury report. I picked up Hyde in some leagues. I feel like if he gets the work, he could be fine if his usual like 60 yards and a touchdown. But DJ Dallas is the one standing. He's interesting as well. So just follow the injury report and we'll see who's out there.
Yeah. And DJ Dallas has an A+ name. So that's got to mean something. I really want him to become a fantasy relevant player. I like that name.
It's a great name. And I love that it's spelled out too. It's not the letters DJ. Yeah. It's 6 letters. With the Seahawks defense, they've been so bad against the pass. I mean, part of it is just that every team has to air it out against them. But the other part of it is that their defense is really bad against the pass. So, you know, with no Deebo Samuel, that sucks. You're obviously starting George Kittle, but you know, are there any other pass catchers in this offense that you want to start this week?
Yeah, I like Brandon Ayuk this week. He's a wide receiver 27 for me. He's looked good. He's, you know, passed the eye test, and they're going to get drawn into the shootout here, I'm pretty certain. And he went over 100 yards last week against the Patriots, 6 catches on 7 targets. He's had some other moments too. I mean, he's had 3 touchdowns on the year, you know, been over 14 or more fantasy points 3 times. So looking pretty good for a rookie, and they're going to need him. So I am starting Ayuk pretty comfortably. And Kittle's my tight end 1. It's just, this is going to be a great, great setting for him. I know that San Francisco 4th fewest yards fantasy points allowed to the tight end, but I think Kittle kind of breaks that trend. He's the best tight end for me this week.
Yeah, Ayuk's a pretty safe safe wide receiver. So we got, I've got wide receiver 29. I think without Deebo Samuel, someone's got to emerge as the 1, and it seems like it's going to be Ayuk. Kendrick Bourne hasn't done too much to really compete for me with that, so I'm comfortable with Ayuk against the Seattle matchup when they're going to have to catch up. So good with that, and Kittle, of course, you're starting, and then there's the running back situation as well there. That's no fun to predict.
Yeah, we talked about the running backs a lot at the top of the show. I think it's safe to say, you know, Jermichael Hasty and Jerick McKinnon, if you have them, they're probably RB2 options, maybe flex options, especially like in a standard league. You know, feel free to correct me if I'm wrong on Hasty and McKinnon.
Yeah, I mean, I've got McKinnon 21, Hasty 28. You certainly could pick wrong here and get the dud week, but there is upside. So not the best matchup. Seattle gives up more in the passing game than they do the running game, but just, you know, there's upside here. It's worth chasing. You just, you could be left with a, you know, sub 5-point game, though. That's certainly in play.
I'll start Hasty. I was a little concerned with the McKinnon work last week, where I feel like it could be Hasty being the lead back. I have to move McKinnon up a little bit because it is going to be passing.
Yeah.
They're going to have to catch up, and McKinnon is the passing downs guy. So I definitely have him a little too low, but I think I'll still take Hasty because I think he is the guy who'll get the majority of the carries. It's just, it's a little ugly, and I'd rather not start either, but if you have to start one, then they're fine in a flexish area.
Okay, and then a quick hitter. Do you want to stream Jimmy Garoppolo this week in a matchup where the Seahawks you have allowed the second most points to opposing quarterbacks?
Yeah, I got him QB 16, and he's kind of at the end of the – he is the last one that I feel okay starting. So I don't think he's that far off from, you know, Baker Mayfield at 13.
I'd rather not. It's just I don't know. We think Ayuk's going to step in as that 1, but there's still the question mark with no Deebo Samuel. This is a good matchup. There's other streamers I'd rather go out after, so I'd rather not play Garoppolo.
Okay, let's talk about Sunday Night Football between the Dallas Cowboys and the Philadelphia Eagles. Kind of feels like a Thursday night game. 2-5 Cowboys, 2-4-1 division leading, 2-4-1 Philadelphia Eagles. This is going to be the fastest way to do this. Who do you not want to start for the Eagles?
Oh, you flipped it on me here.
Well, you want to start everyone. So is there anyone that you're like, nah, I'm good.
I mean, Greg Ward, I've got wide receiver 45. I actually think if you need to, he's a fine play, but Fulgham seems to have passed him up.
Yeah, I'll start anyone. Ward, I'd rather not, and Jalen Reagor could come back this week, and I guess I'd rather steer away from his first game back from injury, but then again, it's Dallas, so even Rager's in that desperation flex, you can do worse than that.
Eric, would you start Jalen Reagor this week, potentially coming back from injury?
No, I wouldn't go that far, so he would be my second one.
Okay, yeah, I mean, the Cowboys have traded away or released, I think, 3 starters in the past few days, and I think they're just replacing them with scrimmage jerseys on, you know, just like mannequins. I'm pretty sure we're gonna have a better defense with Andy. Okay, so just to clear things up for everyone, just in case you're not sure, Carson Wentz you start, Miles Sanders and or Boston Scott, whichever one is, or if Sanders is healthy, you start him. If not, you start Scott. You start Travis Fulgham. You start Richard Rodgers, and apparently, if you're stuck, you can start Greg Ward. But maybe wait and see on Jalen Reagor as he comes back from injury. With Dallas, with Andy Dalton or Ben DiNucci under center, which wide receivers do you want to start this week against the Eagles?
I mean, I think you have to roll Amari Cooper out there. He kind of survived this more than most of the other options are. I don't really want to start the other two. I just, CeeDee Lamb's so good, I hate to leave him on my bench. So I've got him in the wide receiver 2 range, but I mean, they have to. I don't know. It's this offense is a mess to try to figure out. I mean, they're not going to throw for 100 yards every game, right? They're going to figure this out a little bit, aren't they?
No, they might throw for 50. So,
Yeah,
I mean, Lamb's a slot receiver. They should be able to get the ball in his hands. That's why I hold out hope for him. It shouldn't be that complicated to get CeeDee Lamb 5 or 6 catches.
Start Cooper. He's the clear number one, and he's still safe. You lower some expectations, but you can't sit him. CeeDee Lamb, I'm pretty much in the same boat as you. I have him in that wide receiver, high-end wide receiver 3. I got him at wide receiver 28, so I'm still good with him, but definitely lower expectations. And Gallup, he's another just boom-bust play. I'm pretty much done with him, but I still have him a little high just for some upside, taking a guess. But no, you don't start Michael Gallup. You start...
Don't start Michael Gallup.
No. Start Cooper, start Lamb probably, and that's about it.
Well, I will say there's a chance that Slay takes out Amari Cooper and just makes us all a mess, so we'll see how that works out.
Well, that would be fantastic for fantasy purposes. Don't start Michael Gallup. He's got an A-dot average depth of target this year of 15.5 yards, and the Eagles are third in sack percentage. So Dalton or DiNucci is not going to have time to let Gallup's go route develop. Maybe they chuck it to him a couple times just because they have literally nothing else to do. But they're looking at Cooper and Lamb much more in the short range. And so that's going to be where they're going to be looking for a second look. If Dalton's under pressure, those are the guys he's going to be looking at for sure. So don't start Gallup and start Ezekiel Elliott, because even if they do an 11 man stacked box, he can still get yards. That guy falls forward more than anyone I've ever seen. All right. Monday Night Football. I mean, why is the NFC East so featured this week? Washington football team's on bye, and the Cowboys Eagles have Sunday Night Football, and the Giants are hosting Monday Night Football. 1-6 Giants against the 5-2 Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I mean, this is going to be a horrible game. Is there anyone? I mean, the Bucs have such a great defense. Is there anyone in New York that you want to start?
Oh, man, not especially, no. I mean, it even looks like Devontae Freeman is questionable. We'll see if he plays. Slayton has been – no. There's Evan Ingram's tight end 13. That's about as good as it gets.
No, don't do this to them, Eric. Let them let go of Evan Ingram.
I could give you some stats, but yeah. I'll let go of Evan Ingram, fine.
This might be the first week I'm lower than Eric on Evan Ingram. I'm done. He got him at tight end 15, so rather go away. No, no one really. You can take a flyer on – I have Sterling Shepard ranked as the highest receiver. He seemed to come in as the one last week against Philadelphia, but this matchup's not great. So both him and Slayton are in that wide receiver 3 flex range, and that's it.
Yeah. Evan Ingram, 4 of 7 weeks, he's had double-digit PPR points. But hey.
Oh, would you look at that. Good job, Evan Ingram.
They're all like 10 and 11 and 13, but, double digits.
Yeah, technically there's two numbers there. Slayton and Shepard. I mean, the Bucs have allowed the 6 fewest yards per attempt in the air, first in yards per attempt on the ground. So definitely don't want to start any Giants this week. As far as Tampa Bay, Chris Godwin, I guess we didn't mention this, fractured his finger. He is going to miss this game. I don't know how much time he's going to miss in total, but this Tampa Bay offense continues to be a mess. So I guess with Godwin out, Antonio Brown isn't eligible to play yet. So it's fire up Mike Evans time. He gets all the volume when Godwin's out. So is there any reason why you guys would still want to be away from Mike Evans?
I'm not away from him, but I dropped him all the way down to wide receiver 22. So he's disappeared a few weeks. I know he's been good with Godwin around, but I'm not sure it's the Mike Evans of old. I think he's hobbling around a little bit here. So just be realistic with what you're expecting with Evans. So, yeah, wide receiver 22.
It's not the Evans of old, but it's the Evans against the New York Giants and without Chris Godwin. That just seems to be good. I'd have him higher now than I would if Godwin was out there, but he should be the one for at least one more week while Godwin's out, and then who knows what's going to happen once Brown joins the picture. So I got him at wide receiver 17. I'm good with Mike Evans this week.
Okay, and then Ronald Jones and Leonard Fournette, are they both startable against a Giants team that, I mean, they're fifth in yards allowed per attempt, but, they've allowed the 10th most points to opposing running backs in PPR, and the Bucs should figure to be up most of this game. So Jones and Fournette, starting them both.
Yep, Jones RB11, Fournette 24. Arians basically said Fournette's the third down back this week. And he also had some goal line work last week, so those are valuable touches. So I'm starting Fournette in the league. I think you could do worse than him. There's still a little bit of risk here, but he should get some chances at a touchdown at the least.
You still listen to what Bruce Arians says? I don't listen to a single word that comes out of that man's mouth.
That's a good point, but I mean, he did play the red zone role last week, or the third down role last week too. So there is proof on the field as well.
I've got them back to back at 20 and 21. I still have Fournette one spot higher just based off last week, but you're starting either of them. This Giants matchup is gold, so you're good with either. I'm not going to argue if you want to start Jones over Fournette. They're both easy starts for me.
Okay, and then Gronk has been trending up lately. I mean, he's a top 10 tight end, actually. Let's see here. Gronk has been a top 10 tight end over the last 4 weeks on a per-game basis, and he leads the team in red and end zone targets. So he and Brady are back on the same page. You want to start Gronk, and you want to start Brady in a game where he figures to score plenty of points against a New York Giants team that he probably wants a lot of revenge on. A couple of times they've disappointed him, so here's a great chance for him to get back at them on national television. All right, guys. Well, that's the Week 8 preview. Hopefully we've helped you figure out a lot of your lineup questions. It's kind of weird that the NFL just decided to stop the games at 4 o'clock on Sunday, because I don't think there's any game happening Sunday night or on Monday night either. Nothing that I want to watch anyway. But I guess, you know, with no baseball and no basketball and no hockey, I don't really know what other choice we have. But hey, we'll see you guys for Cowboys Eagles Sunday night. And Eric and I will be back actually in the middle of that game to do the Sunday show. So perfect. I don't have to watch it. Eric, Callan, you guys have any last thoughts about this week's game?
No, just do some DFS lineups for those night games. Make them a little more fun because, yeah, you're going to need it.
Let's go Steelers. Let's get to 7-0. It should be a fun week of games, and really excited for this Ravens. Steelers game just from a pure NFL standpoint. But like Eric said, play some DFS during the night games to make them somewhat more interesting for you.
Awesome. All right, everyone. Thank you so much, and we'll see you next week.